Melissa, I'm doing this because I love you. It's the only reason. So part of what I want to kind of work through is thinking about the Holy Spirit and going into, we got to get it's more than a definition. It's like getting to know a person. You know what I mean? Literally getting to know a person. And there's all these ways that we see in Scripture about, it's beautiful the way you say that, you get to know the character of God. You get to know Him. And you listen to what He says. Rich in mercy, slow to anger, rich in mercy, abounding in love. Well, who said that about God? God said that about God. You know, I don't know if you know these Scriptures. It's in Exodus. And then when you go back and trace that thing, that's what God says about Himself. And so you're trying to get to know Him. And so then we have opportunity to get to know Jesus because we see His life. But we don't spend a lot of time getting to know Holy Spirit and what they're like and how they show up and how they manifest in the world today. So I want to just take a few minutes like we did last week and just let you check your own brain. And this was fun for me. I did this too. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes to just fill in things that you think ways that you already know that the Holy Spirit has showed up in the Bible. This is just in the Bible. So answer these questions here, and then we're going to go back through them like we did before. Let's just knock around. We're not going to try to be all-inclusive. Let's just try to knock around some different ways that the Holy Spirit, that we see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. So what did you write down for that?
I said speaking through prophets.
Yep. Yep.
The Old Testament was hard for me. Because I felt like, did we have the Holy Spirit before?
That was my question.
Before Jesus died. That was what?
Well, did the Holy Spirit come with Jesus? Or has the Holy Spirit been around always?
Yeah, that's what I had a hard time with.
Oh, remember what we said in the beginning. What did we say in the beginning?
Oh, yeah.
And the Spirit hovered. So it's not like it's been Father, Son, and then boop, here comes the Spirit. It's always been three in one.
Okay.
And so there's a way that this is going to be so fun, because when you go back and read the Old Testament now, mm-hmm. You're going to see Holy Spirit everywhere, mm-hmm. because there's just like this movement. I had this thought when y'all were writing. Have any of you read The Shack?
Yes.
It's so beautiful. There is like probably not another book that describes the Trinity as beautifully as that book. It's The Shack by William Young. And it's a fiction story, but just the way they represent this interaction. And it's really different. It's really different. Maybe this is going to be... Did you only read part of it?
I was currently in a worshiping body at the time that had a lot of controversy with it.
Oh, yeah. I was too.
And then I was in a phase that I had 4-4 and under. I just didn't have a lot of time.
Yeah. So you maybe want to go back and reread it now. You probably would love it. It was so funny. The church that I was in was complaining about it. And my small group was at the church, and they said, what did you think about the pastor's message? And I said, I'm going to make a t-shirt that says, I'm the person your pastor warned you about. Go Jesus. Anyway, so what's beautiful about that is that, you know, the way that they present the picture of the three of them, you've got Jesus. You've got God the Father that's represented in a completely unusual way, but exactly the way that person need to experience it. And then the Holy Spirit is like this woman figure, but is kind of like moving and kind of shimmers, and it's like kind of hard to get your sense about. And they're all working on different things, but they're all bringing this conclusion of this experience to this person. Does that make sense? So, and then you go, well, I was just talking to Jesus, and the person that represents Holy Spirit is Sarayu. Is that how you'd say it? Sarayu? I can see the word sort of. Anyway, so he said, well, I was just talking to Jesus about this, and the Holy Spirit goes, I know. Like, I know you were just having that conversation. So then goes and talks to this other character, Papa, and go, well, I was talking to Holy Spirit, and Papa goes, I know, because they already all know what's happening. They're not there with the person, the human person, but they're all aware of what's going on. So I think the reason that picture came to mind is understanding then from that premise that they're always all present. They're always all connected. They're always in conversation about what's happening in the world from the beginning. It helps you see the Old Testament in a new way. So now let's keep going. Who else had something? So you got the prophets, but where else do you see Holy Spirit as you start kind of getting your brain going? Anybody else have another story you can think of in the Old Testament?
Moses.
I said that too.
Yeah. Said like interpretation of dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a good one.
What about Moses?
The tablets.
Mm-hmm. Writing the tablets. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. What else?
I had cloud and fire.
Yep.
The tabernacle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The very presence of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Except I did go look up Daniel in the lion's den. Mm-hmm. It says that an angel.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between angels and the Holy Spirit. Because
yeah.
I had said that the Holy Spirit closed the mouth, but it said very specifically that my God sent an angel to close the mouth. So that's different. But what about this one? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who was in the fire?
Yes.
Right?
Jesus.
The Spirit.
The Spirit.
Well, when they were building the temple, scripture says the Spirit gave skills to and names to specific craftsmen.
Right. Yeah.
And I used another name, so I forgot them now.
Okay, what about the Valley of Dead Bones?
Mm-hmm. With Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where it talks about, it says that a great wind came. Ezekiel 37, right? So here's a fun one. What about Sarah?
Opening the womb.
Is
that what you mean?
I don't think he just opened her womb, but you can say that if you want to. Something came over Sarah, just like something came over Mary, right? Sarah and Mary are not the same because Jesus is perfect in every way, right? But he didn't just open her womb because her eggs were dead. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like somehow God, the Spirit, did something in Sarah's body so that she could become pregnant. And it says the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. So it's beautiful. It's like this incredible act, right? So what about what about the New Testament?
I was thinking about the instance where Jesus having trouble recalling his prayers or the scripture. He healed a child from afar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wasn't there with the child.
Mm-hmm.
But then the father believed, and
that's
then
right.
The whole family believed.
That's right.
To me, that would be the Spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What else? That's a great picture. What else? In the New Testament. Okay, good. What else?
Pentecost. Is that what Jesus answered?
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff happening in Acts. A lot of stuff. Do you see that you're straining just a little bit? Can you give me some words around why you're straining? Can you help me understand what's the I'm trying to get in your seats. Tell me what the strain is so that I'm not making up what you're thinking. Can you help me?
Well, for me, it's like I've always thought, well, God did that. Right. I didn't put the Holy Spirit in. Right.
Okay. All right, that helps me. Is anybody else got words that they can add to that?
Or like if we think about what did Jesus do, we can list off miracles. You know, all those are more concrete. With the Holy Spirit, you have to really think about it more. Think about, like you said, that it's not just God doing that. It's through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, you've just hit the gold mine. You know that when they do that show and You Got Talent and they hit the golden thing and all the stuff just comes down. Here's the missing piece. I couldn't figure out why the Lord brought this scripture to mind, because the Holy Spirit was working, because He's always working. But here's the scripture that the Lord gave was I'm pretty sure that this, I'm going to give you this scripture reference. Let me tell you and then we can go look it up in just a minute. But it says that when Jesus was baptized, that Luke 4, 14 and then 18 through 19. Okay, it says that here's where I think that this is beautiful. Let's just look that up. This is so beautiful. We give credit to, and it's all right and true. It's just not complete. Let's look at Luke 4. Let me make sure I've got the right place. That's not right. Hold on a second. Oh, 14. Okay. So here's what I want you to see. It says, let me find it. So in 3. Oh, here you go. Sorry. So Luke 3, 21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as He was praying, heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And then it goes on and talks about that He began His ministry. Now look at chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and then He was tempted, and then the devil came to Him, right? And they went through this whole process of being tempted. And then He returns to Galilee, 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news spread about Him. And then He picked up the scroll, verse 17, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So there is a something that when we look at the New Testament, then we go, Jesus did, Jesus did, Jesus did, Jesus did, which He did. But Jesus did because He was full of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, listen, you got to get this. Because if Jesus did what Jesus did in Jesus' power, we can't expect to have anything else. But if Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and said, "It's better that I go away, because when I go away, you're going to get what I got. And then when you get what I got, you're going to do what I did." Amen? Mm-hmm. Now you got some juice. Because otherwise, Jesus was trying to show us, hey, this is what it looks like to walk in full communion with the Holy Spirit, with the God of the universe on this earth. This is what it looks like. I'm going to come show you how to do it. This is what's possible. This is what you could expect. This is what you can pray for. It just amps up the whole game. Whew. So, I just think it's beautiful. So, I was telling the Lord, I was going, this Holy Spirit class, I don't know what you want to say. I go, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he just said plain as day, he goes, you feed them. That's what he said. You feed them. So I'm going back to that story and I'm going, okay, I know this is about feeding the 5,000. But if you'll remember that story about feeding the 5,000, they came to Jesus and they were complaining because Jesus said he had compassion on them and he said, somebody's got to feed them. Mm-hmm. And so they're going, we don't have anything. We got, you know, these two loaves and three fish and blah, blah. And so what Jesus was trying to say to them is don't try to be bigger, have more. Try to take what you have and put it in the hands of God, because it says that he took what he had and he blessed it. Jesus blessed it. And then they started acting on the very little that they had, and the Holy Spirit started doing this supernatural act. That's the model for us. Not having more and more and more, just going, oh, I'm with Jesus. Jesus is going to bless what this little tiny bit that I've got. I'm going to give it to him. He's going to bless it. He's going to give it back to me. And then I'm going to take it out, and the Holy Spirit's going to do something far beyond what I could ask or imagine. Do you guys just get that? Do you just feel it? Do you see the relief? There's such relief in that. Do you feel relief from that?
I've got children.
That I don't have. That's because the Holy Spirit's blowing us all up. It's like you don't. It's like when I felt like the Lord is just saying to us, it's not, how did he put it? The reality is that Jesus is with us. And that he's available to us and he flows through us. Our job is to take what we have, give it to him, and do what he says. You know, it's like expecting God to be God. It's not about getting bigger fish or more fish. It's about doing what he says and trusting that he can make it more. He's the God of multiplication. That's what he gave me this morning.
Hey, read that one more time.
The last one. It's not about getting bigger fish or more fish. It's about doing what he says. And trusting that he can make it more. He's the God of multiplication.
And that's where I struggle, because I guess you just expect you need to do grand things. But sometimes it's just small gestures that go a long way. And, you know, that's kind of where I struggle sometimes. Just like yesterday, I went and this girl is really having a hard time. Well, I don't have the means to help her financially, not strong enough to help her move big furniture. All I could do was be there. And I mean, it was a struggle for me to even get there. It's like the enemy was just trying to keep me away. And I thought of every reason why I shouldn't go, but I went anyway. And it ended up, you know, she thanked me for just making her laugh. And she said, I haven't laughed in so long. Mm. And so it was really good to see.
Just those small things.
Mm-hmm. I heard a pastor one time say that ministry is just 90% showing up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Trying to talk in or telling them how big. Mm-hmm. It's just showing up. 90% of the time it's just showing up.
I think about that. You know, like I was 17 when my dad was killed in Christ. So many people came. Mm-hmm. Well, they couldn't do anything. But just knowing they came. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As a 17-year-old, it touched me, you know. So yes, showing up made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they couldn't make the circumstances go away.
No,
standing there with you. On that.
Okay, can you go back one more time? To when he handed the fish, I just want to hear the way you wrote it. The fish was given to Jesus. Jesus blessed it. He gave it back, and your motion was this.
Because I want you to get the picture of what happened. Jesus and the disciples are pressed in.
Yeah.
And Jesus is going, Scripture says he had compassion on them. These people have gone for 3 days without eating already. And so Jesus is saying, we need to do something. And of course, the disciples are going to the practical. We don't have enough money. There's not any place open. We can't do that. Da, 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 da. And Jesus, this is such a perfect model for us of walking in the Spirit, because Jesus has compassion. It's his compassion moves to action, right? Those words always go together. God's compassion is to generate action, because God doesn't ever have compassion that doesn't generate action. That's exactly what you just experienced. For some reason, you had compassion and you were compelled to action, right? You didn't know what to do, but you had to do something, right? And so the disciples also had the same thing that you just said. Well, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. And Jesus goes, well, what can you do? And he's going, I got, you know, two fish and three loaves. Is that right? Two fish and three loaves. So it's the idea. It's the exchange, right? This is what we got. You give that to Jesus. And it says that Jesus lifted up, you know, I bless you, Father. He blessed it. He gave it back to them. Jesus didn't take it and do it himself. He gave it back to them because Jesus' whole goal was, I want to show you how to do this. I'm not going to be with you forever. I want to show you how to do this because I'm not going to be with you forever. I want you to do what I've been doing. So he blessed it. And then by faith, I want you guys to understand, I don't think that manifested right then. I think that they started giving it out and they just kept giving it out and they just kept giving it out. So much that there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Right? I don't know if you know real life stories, but I do. Where they had rice and beans and they had enough for 150 and 300 people showed up. And so they blessed it in the name of Jesus and they just started handing it out. And they had more left over, even though they had doubled what they'd given. That happened in Mozambique. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? When Jesus is all you've got, Jesus shows up. Sometimes we think that we'll just take care of ourselves. Which the Lord is glad to let us do that. He's not upset about that, but there's more. So does that answer your question?
I was getting the picture.
Right, because there's 12 of them.
Yeah.
5,000 people. So they're all just kind of feeding out.
Mm-hmm. I remember on a mission trip, we were feeding the homeless in Lisbon, Portugal. And we were concerned about not having more people came, but there was leftovers.
And it doesn't make sense. It just like to the disciples. I want you to understand, we've heard this story so many times, but what do you think the disciples were doing, right? Because they haven't had any teaching on the Holy Spirit. They don't have any expectation of this. They don't even have a Bible that tells them about this, right? Because they know the Quran, they know the first five books. They know that. They know that. They know that the first five books of the Bible very well. They don't have any expectation that this is the way that God shows up. So it's like God's just blowing out the boxes, going, I can do anything I want. I can speak and something comes into place. So these are pictures that God gave today of the way that the Holy Spirit shows up. And I want to be real mindful about time. Yeah, okay. So, Holy Spirit comes as a wind. So, you know, I'll give you these scriptures, John 3:8 and Acts 2:2, that the Holy Spirit comes as a wind.
Acts 2:2.
Here's a real life example. We did the mountain retreat this past year. Do you remember that? And God had given me a word when I was preparing for that. I was sitting on my deck and I was going, God, I need to know what's going to happen at this retreat. What do you want me to do? What's stirring? And next thing I know, I was just worshiping the Lord. I was out on my patio and this really strong wind just started going. Now, I'm just going, oh, it's a nice day. It's like the Lord going, you know what I mean? Pay attention. Don't be so quick to dismiss everything. So I stopped, and the wind was just moving and moving and moving. So I just started praying, Holy Spirit, blow. I don't know if you know that song from Bethel, blow, come do what only you can do. So I just started declaring that, and I sang that song, and I worshipped in that song, and I was hearing that song in my sleep. I was going to God, blow, come and blow, do what only you can do. Whew, I have chills just even coming back around it. we got up there that night, and it was just crazy winds. And people go, God, I think it's going to storm. I go, I ain't a storm. That's all. You know, he's like, I knew what it was. I mean, I knew that the Holy Spirit was blowing, and he did. You know what I mean? It was just crazy. So it's like, I don't have to worry that I'm losing my mind for thinking that's the Holy Spirit, because I have evidences in Scripture that he shows up like that. You know, flames of fire, Acts 2, 3, and 4, that the Holy Spirit moves in fire. Let's just read some of these, Acts 2. Just go to Acts 2 for a minute.
It's so interesting you brought that up, because there's a distinct moment at that retreat. We were talking about the Holy Spirit blowing, and we were all sitting in the room, and it was just like the wind began to blow through and like make noise against the cabin we were in and stuff, and we all just stopped, because it was just like
we knew.
I'm here.
Yeah, amen.
I remember it very distinctly.
I do too. So before you pop out of Luke, you know, it talks about John the Baptist in Luke 3. It says, but one more powerful than I will come, the things of whose sandals I'm not worthy, thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So it's like even John was talking about it. And then in Acts 2, talking about just the way you start seeing these manifestations. Acts 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on all of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I'll let that one sit there. John 7:7 talks about rivers of living water. Holy Spirit shows up like water a lot, like rain.
What was that scripture reference?
John 7:37-39. John 4:14. You know, we talked about Sarah, but it says that, you know, Matthew 1:18. That the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. Let me get this here. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was soon found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to think about that with Sarah, the Lord was like an egg, and with Mary, the Lord was like a sperm. And it's like they're holy parentheses, right? The beginning of a new covenant, right? Abraham, birth, father of many nations. Jesus, you know? It's like you live in the middle of that parentheses, that holy parentheses. It's incredible.
You might say that one more time, please.
Which part? So think about Abraham was really, he's the father of many nations,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Sarah. So you got the parentheses. Holy Spirit on this side was like the egg.
Mm-hmm. That's what I needed.
Right? Holy Spirit on this side.
Is the sperm.
Yeah. The fullness of Jesus. The fullness of the promise of Abraham. Mm-hmm. The firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Right? So this was God's heart. This was the completion. And we live right in the middle of that. I'm not talking about Old Testament, New Testament. I'm talking about the position with God. Mm-hmm. You know, Stephen in Acts 7:55. Sorry, sweetie. Talking about that he saw the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. He looked up to heaven. And, you know, like, let's just look at that. Let's look at Acts 7. I feel like we've tried to make a person a doctrine, a check the box. And the scripture is trying to tell you, hey, here's people who had crazy God encounters. So Stephen, Acts 7, 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Now, isn't it so bizarre that here the presence of God is so strong that heaven is open? When's another time that you know that heaven has opened and spoken? When is another time? We just read it.
The baptism.
Okay. And so here, in this very short window of time, God has yet again opened up. And instead of going, oh, God is among us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You know what I mean? They take him off and stone him. Because we don't really want to hear about this kind of intimacy with God. Sometimes. They stoned him because he was preaching Jesus. Turn back to chapter 6.
Are we in Acts?
Yeah, Acts 6. Try to see. They chose, I love this. In chapter 6, verse 5, they were trying to find a replacement. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and also these other people. And now Stephen, a man full of, verse 8, a man full of God's grace and power. Listen to this. Full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. And opposition arose. And they began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. And so they, if you read on, it says they secretly persuaded some men, we've heard him blasphemy. In the same way that they were trying to kill Jesus, they were trying to kill anybody who believed Jesus. They were trying, you know, like if you zoom way out, it's like the devil was so shocked that he hadn't gotten rid of Jesus. Oh my God, it's worse. It's not just one. It's spreading like wildfire. So he's still trying to do damage control. Mm-hmm. So now if you see it in a big picture like that, it's not just the little people. It's like this cosmic battle that's going on. And, you know, it's beautiful in a way if you think about it, how I can just like sometimes see the devil. There's a great song by Take Six, and they do this great song about 3 days later, about how the devil was having this great party. On Friday, the devil was having a party, and on Saturday, he and all his demons were doing, and then on Sunday morning, everything started breaking loose. And it's just the best visual picture about the reality in all of heaven and earth when Jesus came out of the tomb. And you just haven't been able to stop it ever since. So religion can't stop it. Politics can't stop it. Do you know what I mean? You can't stop it. Because the Holy Spirit has been
released.
It's the most beautiful thing, isn't it? Just kind of takes my breath away. It's awesome. So, another way that the Holy Spirit has been, you know, described as, you know, new wine. And this is like such an important picture. And Jesus himself taught about the new wine in Luke 5. He talks about you don't put new wine in old wineskins. That's probably the reason that Stephen got stoned, is because there was new wine being poured out and the old wineskins just wouldn't have anything part of it. You know, I don't want to assume that you understand the the chemistry behind this? Do you understand the chemistry behind new wineskins and old wineskins? Does everybody understand that? Like a wineskin is an animal skin that's been dried out, and you pour new wine in it, and as wine ferments, it makes it bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Because it's increasing the fermentation. So now this skin is full of wine and it's set. So if you, let's say you pour all this wine out and then you put new wine in this already expanded skin, there's no place for it to go because that new wine would try to make it expand and it would cause it to burst. And so you don't do that. So it says in one of the scriptures, I can't remember which gospel, I'm sorry, but it talks about that you put new wine in new wineskins and old wine for old wineskins, because this was good wine. This is good wine. But there's a new wine, there's a new revelation, and you put it in new wineskins so that it can ferment and grow and do what it's supposed to do without damaging, so that both are preserved, it says. It's like we love the tradition, we love what we had, the revelation that we knew from before, but we don't live just in that. We live and expect that there's new wine. Can I just dare to say, you're living in a day and age of new revelation, and the church doesn't know what to do with it. It's very uncomfortable. We want to call it heresy. We condemn people. We call it cults. It's like, I just read an article I saw an article about Jen Hatmaker. Here's a woman who's trying to advocate peacemaking. She's trying to advocate something. And so she's hitting somebody's button. So now we're going to villainize her. This is our sister in Christ. We're going to make her an enemy because God's given her a new wine. We're so concerned about heresy, but we're not concerned about new revelation. Does that make sense? We've got heresy police going around. And I'm going, well, when was the last time you got revelation from God? That's a hard word right there, isn't it? Because we should be expecting to get fresh revelation. Why should we be expecting that? How much Holy Spirit do you have? 100%. Do you understand that your children have 100% of the Holy Spirit? If they belong to Jesus, it's like I have watched my kids pour out revelation that adults could not have handled because they have new wine and new wineskins. Is this connecting for you guys at all? It's so confronting. So I want to hear you guys talk, but I just want to give you some things. I've given you some examples now about the way that the Holy Spirit reveals himself. And the reason I said reveals is because he knows what you need. He knows your language. I have such a hard time calling the Holy Spirit a him, but I'm just going to let that go for right now. This person of God, you know, I can tell you that I started going through this season of revelation. God started teaching me about rain, and I didn't know about the Holy Spirit as rain. And I was teaching a class on Tuesday night. I've been doing it for a long time, but it was a girl group, and I'm not kidding. It rained every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night. Everybody would come in, we would start worshiping, and it would start raining. And it would stop raining, and then everybody would go home. It probably did that for 3 months. I didn't say anything, but it was the girls going, have you noticed that it rains every Tuesday night? I go, I have. Do you know what I mean? You know, other times, the Lord, I was in like this season with the Lord. I think I actually still am in this season, but it was very intentional. The Lord was teaching me how to hear his voice and listen and be taught. And he started doing this whole tutorial about trees. And that lasted for like 2.5 years, just intense, from cards, from lessons, from scripture that God would show me, just intentionally. So that's when I started going, oh, when it says that he's a teacher, it means that. Like he's consciously always teaching something. So do I know what he's teaching me today? Do you know what the Holy Spirit's teaching you today? Because it's not like he goes off somewhere. Or like you go off somewhere, it's like he's ever present, he's always here, and we're always working on something. Then another season, was butterflies. And I got so spun out. I went to my friend. I went, the word butterfly is not even in the Bible. I don't know if this is true. She goes, are you kidding me? Like, who made butterflies? I'm going, God made butterflies. She said, trust the revelation. Because I was in a circle right then that if it's not in the Bible, by God, it's not from God. I mean, it's just how we do it. This is so outside my comfort zone about what I knew that God could say or do. It's like he's just breaking boxes. Just like in every scenario in the Bible, had they ever seen a pillar of fire? Had they ever seen a pillar of cloud? But did they, God go, trust that, trust that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do it. So,
you'll be on the boat when you've never seen rain.
When you've never seen rain. That's a movement of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, since 2010, we've been in this ongoing conversation and revelation about hearts. Mm-hmm. It's never ending. It's just never ending. Yesterday, Tuesday, I was getting ready for class and just kind of going through some of this stuff. And it's clear as a bell, I just heard blood transfusion. And I'm going, because I said, God, I don't know how to give them hope. Because I know several of the stories that are going on in the Tuesday night class. And then he just said, blood transfusion. And so I just sat there and I just felt this thing come over me. And I knew that the Lord was talking about the blood of Christ. And then in my mind's eye, I could just see somebody getting, you're all tapped out. It hurts to get that needle stuck in you, but then you're sitting there and you're literally just having your blood replaced. It was like getting this old blood out and his blood in, a blood transfusion. He just gave me this whole download. And so if I go only by the word, they don't have blood transfusion in the Bible, right? But the Holy Spirit knows where we live. He knows the day and age. That's why you're so comforted that he is for today, because he knows our language. He knows what we're talking about. So the last question I have is, Patsy, you just said something a few minutes ago about having glory bumps. Mm-hmm. In what ways have you sensed that the presence of God is on you or near you? You said something about that moment with the wind. And then you said something about glory bumps. What are other ways that you've experienced the Holy Spirit in your life personally?
Peace. That's what I was thinking.
Like this thing, yeah.
Contentment.
Yeah, it just kind of comes on you.
And joy. We're in the middle of chaos. Things happening.
Yeah.
There's peace.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What else?
Being in a season that I don't even know how to put into words, like what to ask or what I need, and then like to hear it in a worship song, and you just sit there and hear it and you're like, that's what I've been trying to cry out or to pray or to even know how to feel.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
With groans. Then I write that down and I proclaim that.
Right. With groans and utterings.
Yeah.
Interceding.
Yeah. Yeah,
with groans and utterings.
Yes. That verse. I had that verse written up in my daughter's room. Because I was like, I don't even know how to come before you with this.
Yeah.
And then as the weeks progressed, to start to hear those different ways to pray. Yeah. That's when it became very real to me.
Yeah. Amen. What else? Yeah. A knowing in your knower. Does this make you uncomfortable in any way about the ways that the Holy Spirit shows up?
Makes me excited to know more. I'm curious.
I think that there's like the charismatic Pentecostal church notion, and then you've got the conservative, reserved, I'm being nice, be quiet, over there. And both of these two extremes, like the crazy Pentecostals and the frozen chosen, right? They're now just insulted, both of them, right? Neither one of these are the true representation of Christ, right? Where's Jesus in either one of these? Because the Holy Spirit's not weird. He'll blow your brains out, but he's not weird. It's like you don't have to be. I kind of swing back between these two worlds. I don't know how God did that for me, but I do. I have a bunch of crazy charismatic Pentecostal friends, and I'm going, oh girl, like dial it down. I kid you not. I went to a conference one time, and I put my head down. I went, God, I know you love me, and I know you're right here because I sensed his presence because I know what that feels like. I'm going, but my bullshit meter is going red line, right? It's just like going, I don't know what they're doing, but I'm going, this is like, so he, and the Lord just went, just stay real close. I'm right here. Just listen to me. It's like, I felt like the Lord just put like this case around me and just protected me because I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if I was too immature. I don't know if they were faking it. You know what I mean? The Lord's going to know your business. I'm right here. Just pay attention to me. And that was a great lesson. But also, don't judge them because I could learn something from them. But don't think that my way was the only way that was available. It was just the only way that had been available to me so far. I didn't know anything different. And so there's a way that you want to be so connected to the Spirit. He's already connected to you. You want to be connected to him so that you give yourself permission to just go. There's lots of different ways to show up. So I'm going to give you just different ways that the Lord has revealed himself. Is that there was a time of extreme worship, and I had oil on my hands. Never experienced that before. It's crazy. Having like goosebumps, that weight. I was telling Caroline when we were at Bethel that I was like worshiping. I had my hands up and I'd experienced just the presence of God. I knew that it was just so crazy. But then there was like just this weight that just fell on me and I had to just sit down. And I was trying to have my hands on my lap and I just couldn't even do that. I just was just sitting there. And it's just this incredible weight of the, it's like, you know, we say these things in Scripture, the weight of glory, right? We say that, but God is that, like that manifestation of that. You know, I have a friend that every time we get in prayer circles, she starts laughing. She just has this like resounding joy. I think that's who her core DNA is. And she'll just sit there and laugh. And I go, Dana, I can't pray with you laugh. She goes, no, just keep praying. Just keep praying. I can't stop laughing. It's like it just bubbles up out of her. And it's so infectious. I mean, like she just pours out. Peace, like what you were talking about. Crying, you know, having revelations and visions, and the Holy Spirit starts showing you things and doing stuff. I had really profound dream the other day, actually three dreams back to back, and it was a very important message because when I first woke up, I was just trying to get the details, and then I'm going, God, I have no idea what these dreams mean. And then over the course of that day, I just had to get quiet for just a few minutes. And I went, okay, what's this piece about? The Lord brought translation. What's this piece about? The Lord brought translation. And so when I put those three stories together, I'm going, I mean, it was very specific instruction for me. And so I just have come to expect that. It's not crazy because all three scriptures, these are the ways that the Lord shows up, right? And I want more. And so your hunger is going to drive your ability to hear from the Holy Spirit. Right? I feel like
Can I say, please. Hit it because it's like you have to understand it to not feel crazy. Because you can kind of be made to feel crazy. Like with the wind blowing, you're like, well, that's just the wind. I mean, you have to really be like, Jesus, like, is that really you? Like, because we're made to feel crazy. But it's not. It's just really him. But it's understanding him in a different way. Am I making any sense?
It does. Expecting and accepting him in a different way. Expecting and accepting him in a different way. You're right. Because as a brand new Christian, I started out having dreams. So, like, I'm a brand new Christian. I don't know nothing about nothing. and I'm in an environment that does not believe in the gifts and does not believe in, they don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. If you, I want you to start thinking in your church settings about how much they even talk about the Spirit, right? Like, we don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. It's like it's God the Father, and then Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And it's like everything moving right now is because of the Holy Spirit. Do y'all understand that? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's all Holy Spirit now. So I actually go to pastors and go, I just had some crazy dreams. And they didn't have any idea what to do with that. But I look back now, and God gave me, it's too many words to tell you, but God gave me a prophetic word that was going to describe the next 18 years of my marriage. So I grabbed it, and somehow, see, this is the beautiful thing. I just started to say, so it's not somehow. This is so kind. God is so kind. I needed to be in that church because I needed to learn the word. Right? I was in that church for 10 years. Chuck and I were talking about just this morning. I learned the word, but the Spirit taught me about the Spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm having dreams and encounters that the church did not agree with or understand. But when I'd go have time with the Lord and I'm reading the word, because I'm learning the word, and I'm having all these crazy out-of-the-box experiences, the Lord is just teaching me himself, like tutoring me himself. I'm going, how kind, how kind. He's so kind, because he knew what kind of church I was in. So I could have gotten mad and blown out and all this kind of stuff, but I'm going, well, I don't know what y'all believe, but this is right here in the Bible. That's what happens, right? That's what I did. It says right here, this is what happens. So I feel like I'm chattering. It's okay to be in the church that you're at because God has you there for a reason, unless he's told you to leave and you won't. A. B. It's like once you've learned the lesson, be willing to go to the next level. That's the hardest place for most Christians. Because we're full off of old wine, but it's going to take a little effort to get a new wine. Oh, but I like this kind of wine. It's my favorite. Well, new wine, new revelation requires a little effort.
Yeah, I feel like God's doing something within me. So I'm just following his lead.
Yeah, it's like you just heard that. Peaked something. Okay. It is.
Well, it's funny because I've started really trying to listen, and I've done a lot of things that Christy wouldn't do, and you know, sometimes going from point A to point B, they're not a straight line. I mean, you're going to be all over the
absolutely.
Place. And finally, I'm like, okay, God, people are starting to say I'm crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so. You know, and like right now, I feel a stirring of like change is coming again. I'm like, okay, really? So it's just funny, you know.
It is. It is funny.
Well, my language of the word, I mean, it's in my experience. I'm headed into more change, but it's we're being sanctified to be more and more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, every moment, you know what I'm saying? Every season. And so if we're not changing, how are we being like Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Christ is constant. I want to be careful with my words.
No, I understand what
you're saying. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. But for me to become more and more like him, I have to ever be changing.
Yeah.
And it might not be aha changes. It could be a season of learning a change. Does that make sense?
For sure. Like, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing, like continually be being.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that transforming, be not conformed to the world, but transformed, renewing your mind, is that renewing is changing the way you think about God. Because it's not changing about the way you think about you. The only way you can change what you think about you is changing what you think about God.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, you're in a world system when you're thinking about you, and it's a constant comparison game. But when you start thinking about who God is and what God says about you, okay, now suddenly you're thinking differently. There's something to be said for the fact that you're a child of God, and so your inheritance is all that He is. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, leading and guiding, and you have the mind of Christ. This total package means something. I'm not really sure we've unpacked that all fully, but it means something. We live different. We think different. Not perfectly, necessarily, but we live differently. We interact in the world and with God differently. So, yeah, there's something about getting those realities. It's like I can just see the visual, like the Lord around you and the Holy Spirit in you, and then this coming out. You're going, okay, that's supposed to affect the way I move in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's like getting which piece is weak. That needs to come back into reality from my own life.
You know, talking about the Holy Spirit too, sometimes for me, He's like this annoying little kid. Hey,
oh, I know.
Study? Hey, yeah. You really need to study. Hey, and it won't stop until you sit down. Okay.
I'll do it.
And then it's just like, it's over.
It's over. I love that. Okay, so let's hear you guys talk a few minutes. What's roadblocks? What's exciting? What's
well, it's very obvious. I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's very clear to me. You know, when we do the circle last week, that has eaten me all week, because it's obvious that I don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit or whatever. You know, I go to God, Jesus and God more than,
I do.
That's really eating me all week, because I had the Holy Spirit in the circle a little smaller than God. So,
I think we're just uncomfortable. I think we're uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit. Because I heard somebody, which pastor? He'll have to bring it back around. That we have every good gift comes from the Father of lights. You know that? We have gifts that come from the Father, right? And Jesus gives gifts to the church, you know, the fivefold ministry and prophets and apostles, this Jesus gives gifts to the church. But then we have gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we know about. Love, joy, peace, patience, right? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's these unique expressions of this God that we love, this all-in-one God. But we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we don't talk about sourcing the Holy Spirit for those gifts. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, we try to man up. I need to have more joy. I need to have more peace, right? And we try to white knuckle it. That's completely not what it is. It's like, when the Holy Spirit comes, these are gifts that you're going to experience by having more and more of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't have these things, it just means that you need more revelation from the Holy Spirit about those things. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But if you don't even think that the Holy Spirit's relevant, how are you going to grow in those?
Oh, I think He's relevant.
No, I know you think He's relevant. I was like, in some of my circles, I'm going, yeah.
But, like I said, I had that, what does that mean, God? I'll wait.
I love you. I love it. Amen. All right, who else has got some other thoughts or questions? Or reactions? Or this is freaking me out, or whatever.
I still love to, like, get this piece of paper and be like, I maybe have something to put on that line to answer. I'm not really sure. But then to unpack it in such a different way, in ways that I haven't thought about the Holy Spirit, or that I didn't know. was true, or yeah, he really is all those things, but I've not always been taught that way.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, completely. You know, one way to think about the Old Testament, New Testament with the Holy Spirit is experientially, Holy Spirit in Old Testament was visitation, right? Mm-hmm. Prophets, you know, and then in New Testament is habitation. Have you heard these phrases before? You haven't? Okay, so Holy Spirit in Old Testament is visitation, external down. And New Testament is habitation, because Emmanuel with us, God with us, right? And so the Holy Spirit came and has never left, so is inside us. Upon rebirth, of course, you understand what I'm saying. As you come into salvation, then that is, your spirit is made alive in the Holy Spirit in Christ. So when it says, when Scripture says that Abraham, you know, even of David, that they long to see these things revealed, you know, we see these things that they long to see revealed because we have the Holy Spirit. We have a different way of connecting with God.
Here's my block.
Okay.
I remember as a little girl, a teacher flipping to the back of Revelation, the very end, and going, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life. And so you don't add to and you don't take away. New Revelation makes me feel like I'm adding. And I've got a block somehow. Now, I don't really believe that, but somehow there's a block from when I was that little girl when I heard that, making me go, I can't add to this. If it's not in here, it can't be from the Lord. Does that make sense? And that's really that's the
absolutely
block. Is anybody track with that?
I do completely. And then
I did in circles that were very good for me, because I learned the word. But it almost strengthened, if it's not in the word, you know, and I don't care if people think I'm crazy. Maybe on some level, I do. I do have the thought. I don't want people to think I'm crazy because I want people to get Jesus. But there's something, there's a block that goes, if it's not here, how do I know it's from the Lord?
So two thoughts about that, actually maybe three, is...
It's paralyzing.
Is that I believe it's at the end of one of the Gospels that if all the things of John, perhaps, that if all the things that Jesus had done had been written down, the world could not contain all the books.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah.
So that's one counter to that. Not a counter, but just a thought. And the second thought is that it's not Father, Son, and the Bible. It's Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we've made a deity of a book that's supposed to tell us about them. This is to get tell us what's possible. So all of I heard it beautifully said like this. Let me see if I can say it as eloquently as they did. All of what's in the Bible is about God, but not all of God is in the Bible. Right? All of God is not contained in the Bible. That's very freeing. And we don't in any way disregard the inerrancy of Scripture. We don't in any way disregard Scripture. It's just that it is a map. It is a love letter. It is a tool to help us know this God that's beyond. What's up for you? I can hear all your gerbils talking.
I just keep thinking that talking about the Holy Spirit is like the next level. It's like a maturity, because I feel like it'd be hard to explain the Holy Spirit to kids. can explain, like I think Patsy said, that you can explain Jesus and God, but the Holy Spirit, it would almost be scary and creepy, I think, to kids. Like if they're scared of ghosts and it sounds too much like a ghost, but to be able to crave it and thirst for the Holy Spirit is like a next level of maturity and being a Christian.
Can I give a suggestion? Whew, you just said something and I just went, this is the reason I hate Halloween. It's the reason I hate Halloween. Because it's the only reference that they have for ghosts.
Right.
Is something creepy.
Right.
That's one thought. Mm-hmm. Second thought is, I sent you a text. An apple is a great illustration of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're all one. But the peel is one thing, the flesh is another thing, and the seed is another thing. But it's all one apple, right? It's all one thing. It's a very simple, simple picture for a child. The second thing is there is a reason that Jesus said that we have to have childlike faith. Because they do believe. Because they don't have years of doctrine and people polluting what's very pure right here. And I kid you not, it's like I feel like my kids have had experiences with God. I remember they came back from a camp. Oh, this will totally blow your mind. Y'all want me to totally blow your mind? But my kids came back from this camp, and I had gotten reports from the leaders that it was just full of the glory of God. They just kept talking about the glory of God. So the glory of God had fallen on the kids. This is high school and children's camp. And I came and got them, and I just looked at them. And we had gone to Target after I picked them up, and I said, have you guys been playing with glitter? And they went, No, that's for kids. And I go, you didn't do any kind of crafts? No? Okay. So then I look at Salem and say, because Karis has got gold glitter all over her face. She's got like these little glitter things. So now I look at Salem and she's got this gold stuff on her face. And I'm going, Salem, did you guys like do some kind of hands-on craft or activity? No, Mom. We're high school. We don't like to do that kind of stuff. And I remembered about a church environment where this gold dust had fallen when the glory of God had fallen down. And I went back to the Lord, and I just went, I remember sitting on my deck at that time, and I said, God, my kids are experiencing you in ways that I haven't even yet experienced you. And like, please don't pass me by. Because here I'm running after the Lord, wanting all that he's got. But their childlike faith was bringing an invitation. Their openness before the Lord is to go, I'll take everything you've got. And I think there's something about you tell your kids about the way that God shows up in the Bible. It raises an expectation and an appetite for them that they don't even blink an eye. And I'm not saying that we're doing it right. I'm just saying the difference between my oldest child and my youngest child. The only thing that changed between the two of them was my youngest child was going, you can have all of God that you can take. And her encounters with God, they're unbelievable. And I know she's not lying because she sees details and things that I've never told her. She's never heard. And I know that she got it from God. Does that make sense? And so her childlike faith makes me hungry because how do I have to posture myself to have that kind of encounter with the Lord? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think that in our effort to try to not be over here, not be the weird, wacky ones, because it does get weird and uncomfortable, I think that we've tried to just kind of keep the Holy Spirit quiet so that we don't, let's not mess up stuff. And in the meantime, he's swirling around changing the world through whoever will let him. Come, Lord Jesus, right? Oh, I wouldn't have time to pray.